In this podcast, I'll discuss how you can create a model thermonuclear explosion in the classroom in a beaker. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. I'm getting this podcast as I do my cardiac walk in the evening. It's been a very hot day here in Australia. You can hear the cicadas and various bugs beginning to die down. And it's been a very tiring day, but I'll talk about it. Now, the main idea behind all these activities is to give kids hands-on experiences. And though it sounds a bit ghoulish doing an atomic explosion, some kids have some views of it, mostly from cartoons, in actual fact. You may want to give a bit of background to it, and the actual reason is not to frighten them or teach about it, but it is an entree to understanding atmospheric physics, how moisture rises up and forms clouds, and how you have an inversion, temperature inversion layer of the ozone layer, which creates a zone where above the troposphere, the stratosphere, which is the start of the ozone layer, where the weather finishes. So there's all that action happening. And I've provided a YouTube to click and see basically what goes on. So for this experiment, you need water which has sat out and reached room temperature for a fair while, and you need beakers, and you need to pour the water into the beakers and give them to each of the kids, so you have a demonstration up at the front first to explain what's going on. I should perhaps explain some techniques of getting the kids safely out of their chairs to the lab front, so I'll do that in another podcast, basic lesson or classroom management craft, which is sort of merges, I suppose, the discipline of a workplace with a classroom and classroom management. So the kids have come up to the front bench, and you have poured two beakers, or you have one beaker which is sitting there, has been sitting there for about 10 minutes. And the idea is that you put the water in here, it's at temperature, there should be no currents in it, so the water is at the same temperature as the beaker, so there's no thermal business going on. And you have another empty beaker, and you pour in water into that. And now, so they can see that you have the beaker and you pour in water up to, say it's a 150 ml beaker. So ml, for instance, just as a small thing, is one of the few units which break the lettering convention. That's a small m for milli and a large l for litre. That's a capital L. The reason it is that it's been decided that ML is too confusing, the L looks like a 1. So that's the one exception in units. So a 150 milliliter beaker. Now, in this case, you don't have to worry about using cheaper beakers or cheaper test tubes. So just to give you an appraisal, there are cheap or fake beakers and test tubes on the market. Nothing against China, but they are from China, and so then, unlike Pyrex ones, they actually will break when you heat them, and of course you're not heating these, they go. So just to put you in the picture, Pyrex has a zero index or thermal expansion under heat, therefore if you heat a local area it doesn't build up stress and shatter, whereas if you have these cheap soda glass test tubes or soda glass beakers and you heat them in a particular way, they can shatter, but the temperature stress we're going to put into it is not there. So that's an important thing to notice. So the Pyrex is a combination, a mixture of glass, some with a positive thermal expansion of coefficient, some with the negative, and overall get a neutral coefficient of expansion. So you can heat Pyrex quite easily without explosions happening. Whereas, say, if you have a a test tube, a microscope slide, and you were to heat it. Say if you heated it with a point source of heat, one of those welders, or those pocket welders, which is a propane jet, so it gives you a high point for soldering, or you hit it with a soldering iron, that this will explode with quite an explosion. So you've got to be very careful with glassware. But in this case, in this activity, we're not going to heat it very much. So you have the water out there, and you fill up the beaker, and then you move over to the beaker which you've had left for 10 minutes, so you're not having the children there waiting 10 minutes in front of you as you talk to them. And then on that beaker, you have a Pasteur pipette, they're called, the little plastic droppers, and you take up some food dye, preferably blue or green. So any colour, yellow is not really good food dye to use. What you do is you take up a few drops into the beaker, into your Pasteur pipette. So squeeze the Pasteur pipette, expel air, put it over the food dye in the watch glass, suck it up into the pipette. At this point, you've got an important process to go through. You may want to rinse the outside of the pipette, because you don't want any food dye going into the water as you use this to inject it. You'll understand this a bit later. You also will want to just dab it or touch it onto absorbent paper. And there's sort of a lot of interesting things you can do with that. You then, with your hands, one hand as a guide, your fingers over the top of your beaker as a guide, very gently lower the Pasteur pipette end to the very bottom of the beaker. And at this point, you squeeze very slowly and release about two or three drops worth of concentrated food dye. This is food colouring, sort of like for cake mix. It's all edible. So if you're colouring a cupcake or a cake or a birthday cake, you'll get this thing called food dye. I don't know what it's called in other countries, but we just simply call it food dye out here in Australia. Okay, so you've lowered it down if it's so gently. You've pressed your beaker, your food dye in by compressing it. It's important not to then suck the food dye back up into the thing. So once you've compressed it, you keep it compressed. You raise it just about half a millimetre off, so the food dye detaches from the Pasteur pipette, and then you can slowly raise the pipette further upwards and take it out at this point in time. I suppose one of the things you want to show in all of this is laboratory care, so you ensure that the Pasteur pipette is now placed downwards. This entire activity is held with the beaker sitting on the lab bench. I don't know. It is best to actually crouch down and actually watch it at eye level. This activity of crouching down and looking at things can be very good, but it's also very dangerous. Depends if you're teaching, you've got a chemical reaction which can spill in your face, and particularly you must say if you're in a laser laboratory, never lower your face down into the waist height where all the laser beams are crossing. But of course this is going down here. But to do this activity, you have to have the beaker on the bench. You could have it on a box, such that you don't have to crouch down for it. Now, at this point in time, you've put it there, and you can clearly observe that the there is a pool of dense food dye sitting on the base of the beaker. I'll do another podcast on how to light a match. There's actually some physics on how to light a match, and I think I'll introduce some advanced maths to write an application to put all my podcasts in the structure, but onto that later on. At this point in time, you observe it's there. You then light a match. We'll have to explain how to do that in a lot of detail. A lot of people don't know how to actually do this or control, throttle the burning of the match. You then place the match at the centre of the beaker so the flame heats a point of this food dye, but through the glass, and you hold it there. I've timed it here. 5 seconds is a little bit short. 10 seconds is too long. 7 seconds, oh, sorry, I'm going up a hill, is ideal. I'm going to have to stop for a moment. Sorry, you'll then heat the beaker and place it down on the bench, carefully down on the bench, not to shake it. Now, after about 10 seconds, the heat will diffuse through the glass, taking time for the conduction to occur. Now, we'll get back to it. This is an important thing in astrophysics to explain that it takes heat a million years to go from the core to the outside of our sun. So after about 10 seconds, the students will observe, and there's oohs and ahs. After 10 seconds, a little mushroom cloud will grow up as the water begins to heat, and you have convection. And the convection will actually, the rising pot of hot water will then, a little circle of hot water will tend to then drag a column of food dry in a mushroom cloud, which will then circulate in a very realistic atomic explosion. Now, there's a whole series of things that you can do to increase the realism of it. The important thing that I want to do is use this as a base lesson in a future podcast to teach about the effect of the ozone layer. There's a lot of physics in doing that, and I can tell you that it's very, very poorly explained and understood. That's the ozone layer. So the students will, having seen this demonstration, know that there are certain things they have to do to get it, and there's great excitement as they actually can recreate this. Just, I suppose, I'm closing. This will be a nice short podcast. I'm closing. It's pretty important that they learn basic things, like if they light a match, to place the light and matches in a little pile or row, one after each other, so you can walk by and see the number of lit matches, and I'll describe a bit of successful exam craft. At the end of this activity, they clean up the beakers, having recorded it. We'll also note that there's carbon deposited on the bottom of the beaker. That's an important thing to note, that the burning, you get incomplete combustion, and the creation of a carbon deposit. That's another important thing to see. So this is a introductory orientation lesson to the many aspects of atmospheric physics. We will have to at this, in our next sort of stab at this, do something fairly similar but in a test tube, and build into it not just a uniform atmosphere but also an ozone layer or a stratosphere above it, to actually get a handle in on what's going on and why there's weather in a certain zone, the weather suddenly stops as you hit the ozone layer. So that's all for tonight. Nice short podcast. And in the meantime, keep on doing science.